Welcome to this podcast by the Caboolture Gospel Church. For more information about us, head to www.caboolturechurch.com.au.
It's a beautiful song, isn't it? How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Jesus said, if you don't praise me, these rocks will cry out. Every time I hear that song, it's like holding on to like a 240-volt power line. You can't stop it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. We've been hearing good messages over the last couple of weeks, Ben and Adrian, and on this topic of I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it is because it is the power of God. He's saying that simple gospel message, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that simple message carries the supernatural power of God. And he's saying, I am proud of preaching that gospel. And do we understand what that power is? Obviously, Paul does. The power of God is actually mentioned all throughout the Bible, but I want to specifically mention this one from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for those who believe, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So tonight I want to look into the power of God that's in the simple message of the gospel that Paul keeps referring to all throughout the New Testament. It is the power of God that brings salvation. It is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us it is the power of God. So for that, I want to go back into the Old Testament as well as into the New Testament. Hopefully we got enough time. I've been told to stick with 20 minutes because it's grand final night. But I bet this is better than grand final. So God brought the people of Israel out of slavery, out of torture, out of misery, darkness, from the land of Egypt with a great power and a mighty hand. And he reminded the people of Israel that their salvation had absolutely nothing to do with their power. Their salvation had everything to do with God's power. And in Exodus chapter 15, Moses and the Israelites sang this very song. When God split the Red Sea for the people of Israel, and he saved them from Pharaoh and his armies. And he sang this song, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My Father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. But tonight I want to go into 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 16 onwards, where it talks about Elijah on Mount Carmel. And some of you know this story, but it's one of my, you know, favorite stories. It's like the real gladiator kind of story, you know. It real gives you a picture of God's power. King Ahab and wife Jezebel, they ruled the nation of Israel for 22 years. And the Bible says they were more evil in the nation of Israel when they ruled They were more evil in the eyes of God. They were wicked. They led the people of Israel down a road leading away from the living God. They abandoned the Lord's commandments. They were absolutely wicked. And to get things worse, they started worshiping the pagan god Baal. Baal. So to shock the nation of Israel from where it was going, God sent a drought for 3 years. You know, isn't it funny? We all sometimes, you know, go on this journey, the worldly journey. We forget who God is in our lives, and suddenly something happens to us. Where are you going, son? You know, we our desires are just tucked into what the world offers, and we just cruise along. And God suddenly brings something into your life and just wake you up. So God sent a drought for 3 years. And after the 3 years, he sent Elijah to King Ahab. And Elijah challenged King Ahab and said, "Why don't you bring the whole nation of Israel to Mount Carmel? And why don't you bring your 450 false prophets of Baal? And also there's another 400 prophets of Asherah." And he said, "Let's meet at Mount Carmel." So this was the drought was a bit of a slap in the face for Baal, because he's supposedly the rain god. He's meant to be the thunder god, lightning god, and he couldn't do anything. So here we got 950 false prophets versus one prophet of the true living God. So the odds are 950-1. That's a mismatch, isn't it? Is Elijah, just a little bit, is Elijah guy, he's a pretty rough guy. Here he is saying, "Well, I challenge you. If your God, Baal, is God, you follow him. But if my God, the true living God, if he's God, you follow this God." You know, it's like the ultimate showdown. It's like, you know, better than the grand final, NRL. And he asked them to bring two bulls. And he said, "Choose one of the bulls, cut it up, set up an altar, put up the wood, but don't set it on fire. And I'm going to choose the other bull, and I'll cut it up. And we're both going to pray to God. And the God who answers by fire is going to be the God. You have to follow that God." And here we are. It sounds good to the people of Israel. Sounds good to all these prophets. And they bring the bull. They cut it up, put it on the altar. They start praying to Baal. The Bible says they started praying from morning. At midday, Baal hasn't answered. "Come on, mate, wake up, do something. Don't embarrass us. You got the whole nation of Israel and 950 prophets. Put a bit of fire on it. Maybe a bit of fuel if it helps. Come on, Baal." Baal hasn't answered. By evening, he hasn't answered. And the people started shouting out. They started crying, dancing around Baal. There's nothing. The Bible says they slashed themselves with swords and spears, and blood started pouring out. You know, I could actually picture this, because these sort of pagan worship is actually still in India. There's a Hindu temple 2 kilometers from where I live. And every year in April, they have this festival. So what they do is they make this big bull made of wood and everything, and they put it on a cart with the wheels. And the men would drag this thing, and everybody starts worshiping, dancing around this thing. And some people make blood sacrifices. They wound themselves. They put a spear through their cheeks. Comes through here, comes through out. Put a spear through their tongue, and blood starts to flow out. They're just dancing around. It just looks, after a while, it just looks very demonic. they become so demonic in this, they just bump onto things, they don't feel the pain. They're so demonic, and they worship this pagan god. Baal hasn't answered. It was evening, and it was Elijah's turn. And Elijah set up the altar. He cut up his bull, and he put it on the altar. There's wood. And what he did is he dug up a trench. He dug up a trench, and he asked them to bring 3 big jars of water. It's getting exciting. And he poured out water on this altar, and he did it 3 times. And there was enough water, it filled up the trench. And Elijah prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back. The Bible says, the moment he finished praying, he probably prayed for less than half a minute. Boom! The power of God just came down so fiercely, the Bible says it consumed the whole altar. It consumed the sacrifice, it consumed the stones, the wood, and he even licked up the water in the trench. The fire of God, the power of God is so strong. Boom! People were trembled seeing this, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Because of the power of God, there was salvation in the nation of Israel. People saw the power of God, and they all confess, he is God. You know, the young guy's been going out, meeting people, and, you know, it's been great. You know, I'm one of those spiritually constipated guys. Blessed are those who are spiritually constipated. I wish there was a verse like that in the Bible. But I got this story I want to tell you about what happened at my hospital. I work at the Mater Hospital, and the building that I'm in is over 100 years old. And it's a 3-story building. It's known to be very creepy. Very creepy. There's a museum on level 3. I'm in level 3. And there's all these statues and stuff and all these surgical equipments that the nurses used back when the nuns started the hospital. And level 2, there's all these photographs. Again, more statues. So I get people tell me, Josh, I feel like I've been watched in this place. I said, that's good. Another lady said, I was walking through level 2 and I heard this song coming out of this room. I said, bro. I said, I don't hear nothing. How come I don't hear anything? And one of my colleagues, she was doing a night shift a few weeks ago, and she sent a message about 4 p.m. So she did a night shift the night before, and she said, hey guys, I had this overpowering smell of incense in the laboratory last night. I assure you I'm not crazy, but has this ever happened to you? And I said, I never experienced anything like that, but are you scared? She said, it really unnerved me. She said it was too real, and it was just hard to ignore. You know, this place, you know, there's another lady who told me there was a sound of a kid speaking. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But evil spirits are real. Fear is real. David sang, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But your rod, your staff, comforts me. Maybe it's real, but I'm not fascinated in this stuff. because I got better things to worry about. But I said to this lady, next time you experience something like that, say the name of Jesus. I said, there is no force, there is no evil, there is nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. There's nothing that can pierce through that name. You know, I actually walk into this door, this building, and I actually speak in tongues. This is the truth. Shila rabba shakta laba, in the name of Jesus. It's like carrying two machine guns. Boom, 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 boom. You know, the word says, greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. If you don't understand that, you don't understand God. You have no right to have fear if you know God. If you claim yourselves to be a follower of Christ, you have no right to be feared. And I said to the lady, say the name of Jesus next time. And she said, thank you, Josh, I will try that tonight. And she went to work that night, and I actually messaged her later next day. And I said, how was your night shift? And she said, I had a good night and there were no visitors, smiley face. And you know, the interesting thing was, I talked to another lady the week after, and she, you know, she's the one finishes when I get in at 11 o'clock. So there's a handover time of 15 minutes. She's talking about all this ghost talk. And she said about this lady, Desiree, her name. And I started talking to her. I said, I'm a Christian. I don't, you know, I haven't experienced anything. I'm not scared of anything. She said, oh, I'm a Christian too. I'm actually a wife of a pastor. You know, I actually thought about, you know, talking about Jesus to Desiree. And I said, I already did. You know, she's thinking about it. You know, by the time you think about it, by the time you go through the policies of the Mater Hospital and the procedures of the Mater Hospital, this lady will probably have a heart attack. I don't care if they fire me, but I cannot hold this Jesus inside of me. The job doesn't bother me. You know, God will provide another job, but how can you actually stop telling about this good God to people? Acts chapter 16, we can see Paul and Silas were caught and put in a prison because they casted out a demon from this fortune-telling lady. They stripped them, they flogged them very severely, and they were put in an inner cell where they was very safe. And they commanded a soldier to watch over them all night. But what they didn't understand is they couldn't stop Paul and Silas from preaching the gospel. They couldn't stop them from singing to God. The Bible says that midnight they started singing and praising to God. And at that moment, the power of God came down. Boom! Violent earthquake. The Bible says it shattered the foundations of the prison. And the prison doors flew open and the chains came loose. The power of God was seen by the jailer, and it brought salvation to that person, that jailer. And it says the jailer stood trembling before Paul and Silas. He felt the power of God, and that power brought salvation to this jailer and his household. You know, the same power of God resides in the gospel of the Son, Jesus Christ. There's something about this simple, foolish message that God has ordained. That message, there is power in it. It has the power to break the chains of the worst sin you can think of. It has the power to break the chains of depression, of anxiety, of relationship problems, has the power to break down suicide, has the power to break down any kind of sin you can think of. And it can bring the tougher soul to accepting Jesus Christ. You know, sadly, you know, even in India, like I was thinking about it, we live in a world where people constantly repackage the whole gospel to make it sinner friendly. It's such a shame. You know, it is diluted down so much, it's no more a stumbling block, like the word says, or it is no more a foolishness to the sinner. You know, churches around the world repackage the gospel so they can get the numbers up. Is that true salvation? It is meant to be the stumbling block. You know, it is in that foolishness that God actually brings the wisest people made stupid. It is in that foolishness that he frustrates the intelligence of the greatest minds. It is in that foolishness that he strongly convicts a sinner and realizes his emptiness. Don't try and put salt and pepper on the word of God to make it more flavorable. It's like saying, God, this doesn't work. Your word's not working. Let me add some salt and pepper on it. It is in that foolishness that where the power is. Nathan's waving at me. My time is up. We don't need to put salt and pepper. We don't need to put sugar on it. You know, because if you get out there and you talk to people about God, say who he is. Say exactly what the word says. You know, David went out to face Goliath. And the word says Saul put on a coat of armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on David. But David said, I cannot go in this. I'm not comfortable in this. He decided to go as a shepherd boy. He had his shepherd staff, and he picked up 5 stones. And he said to Goliath, you come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Almighty. The Spirit of God was with David, and he struck the big giant down. You know, we don't need to put on something else that's not meant to be there. All you need is the smooth stones of the gospel. And that will bring anything down. Can I get the band up, please? You know, it's time for us to be bold. You know, there are a lot of people out there who are on the verge of suicide, who are on the addiction, who are on addiction to drugs, prostitution, all kinds of stuff. It is time for us to get uncomfortable. You know, I don't pray much about God save Caboolture. These days, I prefer to get my hands dirty. You know, I'm not saying praying is not good. We definitely need to keep praying. But if we don't act, I don't see the point of it. We need to get our hands dirty. We need to let people see the fruits we bear. Otherwise, they don't see anything different between us and someone who lives in the world. You know, don't expect it will be okay. If someone gives you a mouthful, it's okay, because the word says it is foolishness to those who are perishing. It is okay to be, you know, persecuted. But the people who caused revival over the decades, over the centuries, are people who stood up for Christ faithfully. Not someone who put salt and pepper on the word. So as I finish, my time is up. As I finish, I want to encourage you to be bold. You know, Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. Let people think you're foolish. Let people think you're stupid. But the power of God can change that person. That person won't be laughing anymore. So I want to encourage anybody who hasn't met this God, hasn't felt his power. It is available. It is available for every single soul. Every single one of you, God wants every single one of you to get out there and meet your lost brothers and sisters. It is not just for us young guys. Every one of you can do amazing things. And as I finish up, if there's anybody who needs prayer, anybody who needs prayer for boldness, prayer to break the shackles of their depression, their anxiety, their sin, whatever it is, I challenge you to come forward. There'll be people who love to pray for you. God bless you.
You have been listening to a podcast by the Caboolture Full Gospel Church. We hope you have enjoyed it. For more information, head to www.caboolturechurch.com.au.